If you like tennis betting, William Hill offers the best in-play action you'll find. You can bet on the outrights, sets, games, and point by point. To guide you, there are stats, a court map, live action on William Hill TV, and dedicated experts looking for the best bets on the ATP and WTA tournaments on in-play radio. Plus, there'll be extended radio coverage of the Grand Slams. To get involved, tweet the studio at Will Hill In Play or email inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Tennis Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Nick Lester to look ahead to the US Open, which of course starts on Monday. Some cracking action to look forward to. A really interesting tournament as well. I think we've got two pretty short price favourites, but potentially they're to be shot at for once. Hi Nick, how are you?
Good, Alex. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, thanks. As I said, in Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic, we've got two short price favourites, two fantastic players, but of late they've both had the odd hiccup or two, haven't they?
Well, I think obviously Serena's got to get over her first week jitters of this year. It's been a problem for her. I mean, losses early in slams have hurt her, surprising losses. And I think as far as Djokovic is concerned, it's just a case of where his mind's at really coming into this slam, because, you know, the form's not been there. Played terribly in Canada and Cincinnati, probably some of the worst tennis we've seen from him for a while. Having got married a couple of weeks ago and with a baby on the way, he's admitted that I think the motivation for those two events, which are big events in themselves, were not there, and that's a worry. So I think for Djokovic, goes, there is a pretty serious question mark as to where his game is at going into the last major of the year. Probably Serena slightly less so, I'd say.
Okay, right, well, we'll start with the men's tournament. We'll go through the first five in the betting. The betting stands like this: 11-8 Novak Djokovic, 5-2 for Roger Federer, Andy Murray in at 7-1, Wawrinka at 14s, Dimitrov at 16s, 25s or bigger the rest. We touched on Djokovic there. We'll start with him. He is 11-8. Lost to Joe Wilfried Tsonga and Tommy Robredo in straight sets of late in the previous tournaments, as you mentioned. In the two games that he has won, he's needed three sets against Gael Monfils and Gilles Simon. Certainly not in the form of his life, is he?
No, it's strange because, you know, I think he has actually been putting in the hard yards. You know, everything I've heard and everything I understand is that it's not been a lack of motivation. I think it's just been a lack of spark, really, those two events. You know, as I say, he got married a month ago. Things obviously were dominating his life then. Got back to business. I just don't think there was any kind of energy, if you like, in those two events. I was in Cincinnati. Just inexplicable errors. The forehand that is can be obviously very reliable was at times making a lot of errors. You simply don't expect him to lose to Tommy Robredo on a hard court, and he's not at his best. So, you know, there is a pretty serious question mark hanging over his head. I know there have been a few issues in the team as well. I know, for example, that Boris Becker has perhaps not been quite as accommodating in terms of the situation in New York this week. So there's definitely some questions for Djokovic. I think he's a man to oppose. I really do. Despite the fact he's made the last four finals here, I don't think he's playing particularly well. I think he's going to struggle to recover it. I really do. I'm not sure he can just switch it on right now. So for me, he's a man to oppose going into the US Open.
Okay, so Djokovic there to be beaten. Next in the betting is Roger Federer at 5-2. By contrast, Federer is in great form, especially since he's switched to the hard courts. Won, of course, in Cincinnati, and you could say he's had the perfect build-up for the US Open.
Well, it's remarkable, isn't it? You know, there was a famous saying a few years ago that I think they said age is an issue of mind over matter, and if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And that's the case for Federer, because I tell you what, he's the only guy coming into the U.S. who's playing well. He's the only guy who has a bag full of confidence and belief, because everybody else has been really wobbly. He was outstanding in both Canada and Cincy. The form from Wimbledon has just rolled on. He's hitting his backhand beautifully. You know, a shot that for him has obviously been one of the downfalls over the years. He's hitting that sweetly. He's being aggressive. He's confident. And he's playing, you know, he's moving so well. And all these things add up to a guy who has just tons of belief in himself, and obviously has won the US Open and has dominated the US Open. I think he won five straight years. So he's the only guy that looks good. He's the only guy that looks healthy. The draw has been absolutely perfect for him. I don't think he could have picked it out any better. So, you know, you have to look at him and say, well, he's the guy to beat. There's no doubt about that. You know, despite the fact we've all been on record of saying his days are numbered, he's the guy to beat going into this tournament without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, next in is Andy Murray, 6-1 for the Scot. Now, he hasn't been at his best of late. He's still been winning a fair few games, but he's still, you know, you don't get the impression that he's fully tuned up yet, if you like. However, at 6-1, with the sort of query about Djokovic, as you said, Murray could potentially represent a little bit of value here, Nick.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree. I think we've been waiting for Andy Murray to re-emerge for a long time now. And I think all the issues with the back are now in the past. All the issues about Wimbledon can be in the past now. I think that's done. I think there's good signs for Murray. I genuinely do. I thought he played pretty well in Cincinnati. He led Federer 4-1 in the second set, double break, inexplicably lost that match. Same against Songa in Canada. Was 3-love up in the final set. Again, really head-scratchingly lost the match. That's the only worrying. You know, I think he knows that there's definitely some game around. I think he's starting to use a bit more variety in his game, something perhaps that went out of the window a little bit with Lendl when the mindset changed with Lendl. I think he's now with Mauresmo just trying to use the slice back and a little more. And that's something I'd certainly like to see him bring into his game, because he has so many different ways to beat players. But I'm not sure we've seen it really the last couple of years. But, you know, I think the draw is okay. You know, you look at it, he's got Songa perhaps in the last 16 and then maybe a quarterfinal with Djokovic, if Djokovic gets there. And I'm not sure, and I think that's a fairly big if. So I'd agree. I think Murray each way is good value here. I think 6-1, loves playing in New York, always loves playing in America. And I think he's due to start playing well again any moment now. And I think the form is beginning to show, it's beginning to get there. So I think Murray is the one with some good value.
Okay, Murray could be a value player then. Next in the betting is Stanislas Wawrinka. He's 14-1. He's been in and out of games, if you like, at the minute. Been showing his best form, but in the same match also showing his worst side, if you like. We know that the talent is there. He has now shown it on the big stage. And again, 14-1, it's a little bit big in a reasonably open year of the US Open.
Yeah, I mean, just again, a strange couple of weeks for Wawrinka. You know, he was playing well, was up against Julian Benneteau in the quarterfinals of Cincinnati, and then utterly went away, just completely disappeared. His game went away, his mind went away, and then lost in straight sets after that. So having thought perhaps he could go into the US Open with a lot of confidence, that was a somewhat disappointing performance. But played well in New York. You know, shouldn't be forgotten that he was only a set away from making the final last year. Djokovic beat him in five. He played outstandingly well against Murray. He has the weapons. We all know he has the weapons. He has the game to beat anybody in the world if he's dialed in. There have obviously been issues since winning the Australian Open. There are, you know, it's been an all-or-nothing year for Wawrinka. It really has. It's been, you know, there have been so many peaks and yet at the same time so many obviously disappointing moments for him. First-round loss at Roland Garros was one of those. So the game's there, you know. It's really about whether the mind is there for Wawrinka. And if you're willing to take a risk that it is, then the draw certainly could be worse. I think the first round, looking at it, could be somewhat tricky, but if he can get through that, he may well be okay. You know, I think the thing with Wawrinka to remember is that he's played well in those conditions. So again, like you, I'd be watching him through the first week. If he can get through week one, then I think he could well have a shot.
Okay then, the final pen pick, if you like, is Gregor Dimitrov, 16-1 for him. Obviously, the talent, as we know, is there. Still up and coming, if you like, but ready, I think, to make his mark on a stage like this. Has been prone in the last few weeks, though, to the odd sort of lull in games, and he's been losing server at really key points as well. What do you make of his chances this week?
Well, they're good, obviously. I mean, they have to be good. Whether he's ready, or to win a major championship yet, I'm not sure. I still think there's some time to go for that, you know. He shouldn't be forgotten that he hasn't made a final of a Masters 1000 yet either. So, you know, the level below, obviously the slams, is still something that's proving elusive for him. A loss to Jerzy Janovic last week in Cincinnati was disappointing. You know, it's all about being able to back up the good weeks for these guys. This is what the top four players have done in the world week in, week out over the last few years. And Dimitrov didn't do that, and that'll be certainly frustrating. The draw's okay. He's potentially looking at a quarterfinal with Federer. I think we'll get that. I think we'll get a Dimitrov-Federer quarterfinal. I really do. I think that's very likely. And then it's a case of seeing how both players have panned out in the first week. If a player could give Federer trouble, it could well be Dimitrov. They played close in Basel. They played close a couple of times already this year. So, you know, again, looking how Federer's playing, you've got to stay with Federer right now. But I think Dimitrov is definitely getting there, despite a disappointing loss.
Okay, then. Right, so they're the pen picks, if you like. I'll just run you through the sort of next ones in the betting. We won't go into too much detail on them, but 25-1 for Songa and Rajanic, 50s for Ferrer and Burdic, 66s for Nishikori and Cilic, 80s for Gulbis, and 100s or bigger the rest. Do any of those make appeal at the prices, Nick? And then can we just sort of, could you sum up your thoughts on the men's US Open?
Yeah, I certainly like a couple of guys in there. I like Marin Cilic. I think he's playing well. I think he's certainly improving. This year's been great for him. He's in the top three or top four match win leaders of the year so far. I think he's good value. The draw's not too bad for him either. I think there's a couple of seeds in there, but I think if he can get through, I think he's certainly dangerous. Has played well in New York as well. One player I like you didn't mention is Vasek Pospisil. This kid is good. A young Canadian player. He's got Tommy Robredo in round two. If he can get by Robredo, the draw opens up. And, I think he's definitely a future top 15 player in the world for me. So I think if you're looking at some good bets early doors, I think possibly, look at someone like Pospisil. Made the final of Washington a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic all-round athlete. Great attitude. He, for me, would certainly be one in the betting that I'd be looking at. And then don't rule out Ferrer. Everyone's waiting for David Ferrer to move along. But again, if you look at the draw he's got, I don't see anyone beating him in the first week and up until the quarters, really. So I think he's certainly going to be in the mix. Just made the final in Cincinnati, enjoying the conditions in America. So I think those three names would be guys that I'd certainly be looking at.
Okay, so Pospisil at a huge 200-1 there for the big Canadian may well tempt. Okay, well, we'll get back to the outright thoughts on the men's US Open in just a few minutes. We'll go through the main protagonists in the women's draw now then, Nick. 6-4 Serena Williams, 6-1 Maria Sharapova, 7-1 Simona Halep, 9-1 for Petra Kvitova, 12s for Eugenie Bouchard, and 16s or bigger the rest. Only one place to start, and that is with Serena Williams. Of course, she lost to Venus in Montreal. That was a bit of a shock. But otherwise, she seemed reasonably, well, as relentless as ever, I think it's fair to say, of late. And of course, she's bidding for the hat-trick here.
Yeah, and fresh off one of the few titles that she hadn't won. Cincinnati was probably the biggest title that she'd never won, and she was able to do that. She was able to get the job done there. So that was a good effort, a really good effort. I think there's a little bit more, perhaps, motivation. There's two things to say here. There's two sides of the coin. One is that, she has gone into major championships this year playing well. She won Brisbane and then lost early at the Oz. She won Rome and then lost early at the French. So in terms of her form going in, I wouldn't read a great deal into it. The one thing I would certainly say is that she's a lady who, when things have gone against her, when she has something to prove, she does step up. So that would be a positive for me, looking at, going into the final major of the year. I think she does have the bit between her teeth. It feels as though there's just a little bit of extra motivation around her right now. So she has to be the lady to beat, again, as always, because if she plays well, she's probably the only person that can beat herself. So I think she's my favourite, but there's certainly a few in the mix that can challenge her.
Okay, next in the betting at 6-1 is Maria Sharapova. She's been pretty badly out of sorts of late, Nick. Her serving's been a real issue. It was in her two most recent losses against Carla Suarez Navarro and against Anna Ivanovic. Against Ivanovic, we saw every possible side to Sharapova. She rallied from a seemingly impossible position and then managed to throw it away again. And that sums her up of late, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was a bizarre match, wasn't it? That had a fair few twists and turns, that one. And Ivanovic, obviously one of the most improved players on the year so far. So tough loss for Sharapova, but you're right. Good news for her is she's in the opposite half to Serena Williams, who, as we always talk about, has been her nemesis. She is in a tough half of the draw. I mean, she's got Wozniacki, Venus Williams, Radvanska, who obviously won in Canada. So it's a tough half of the draw, that, for Sharapova. We saw at the French Open, you don't rule someone like her out. How tough is she? I think that was one of the greatest efforts I've ever seen to win a major championship, at Sharapova winning the French. So, she's tough as nails. She's mentally the strongest player out there, and obviously has one in New York as well. So that all ticks the boxes, and she is in the other half. So I think if she can get going, she certainly wouldn't be my favourite to win, for sure. But I think if she can get going past that first week, it will get tougher thereafter.
Okay, next in at 7-1 is Simona Halep. She didn't do so well in New Haven last week, but you get the impression that you know what you're going to get with Simona Halep. She's one of the more solid options in the betting.
Yeah, I just wonder if slightly perhaps she's peaked this year. Obviously, having played so well in the first half of the year, she picked up an ankle injury at Wimbledon in the semi-finals there. Hasn't really recovered since, hasn't played that well in the last couple of weeks. I do think that's a slight concern. She wouldn't be one for me personally. Again, I think conditions are quick in New York, obviously during the day especially. The weather forecast is hot next week, 30 degrees and sun. Balls are going to be flying around. You know, I think that's a negative for her. And again, she is in a fairly tough section. She is in that Sharapova, Wozniacki, Venus Williams section. So I would be looking to certainly oppose, I think, Halep going into this one.
Okay, next in at 9-1 is Petra Kvitova. She would appear to be somewhere near her destructive best, if you like, at the minute. She is really playing very well. At the time of recording, she's got to the final in New Haven, and she's the kind of player that on her day is one of the best in the world, of course. But she does have the tendency to throw the odd bad one in, doesn't she?
Yeah, good shout. Definitely think that Kvitova's a player who I think you certainly hope is beginning to learn from previous mistakes. You know, having won Wimbledon, you certainly hope she can kick on now and play some good tennis. It's very encouraging she made the final in Connecticut this week, as you say. That is ultra encouraging because, you know, there have been a lot of highs and lows. She lost early in Cincinnati to Svitolina. Again, I think post-Wimbledon, you can probably forgive that. She's never played well in New York, though, and that's a concern. I think she's made the round of 16 to best showing there, so that is a major concern for me. But I think it's time to put that right. You know, the way she played at Wimbledon was phenomenal. I think her movement's improved out of sight from where it was a while ago. You know, she's moving around the baseline. She's covering the court so beautifully. I think she's a genuine title shot here. I really do. I think she has a legitimate shot. She's in the same half as Serena Williams. For me, I'm looking at a Kvitova-Williams semi-final. I think it'll be Serena and Kvitova in that semi-final, and probably the winner will come from there.
Okay, and the final one that we'll focus on is Eugenie Bouchard. She's in at 12-1. She's developed a tendency following successful spells in sort of Grand Slams this year of having a bit of a lull following that, and that's been the same. She was so good at Wimbledon and has come out and really struggled on the return at hard courts. At the minute, she seems hard to back at 12-1 on current form, but you know she's got the talent there, and if she was to bounce back, she'd be a threat here.
Well, she's not only got the talent, but she's got the attitude as well, and that's something we've seen obviously a lot this year. Outstanding. But again, I'm with you in that moment. I think tennis is so much about form. It's about seeing where players are going in. And she's not going into this major having any sort of form. You know, she's won one match out of four on the US hard court swing, which is disappointing. Canada was a bit of a shock. I think she lost first round to Shelby Rogers, all the obviously publicity surrounding her there. So I think it's definitely, you know, for me, she's in the opposed camp. I think she's not playing very well right now. I think, you know, she's had a good year. It might just be time for her to have a little breather, perhaps just take some time out and then get back for the end of the year in the Asian swing. I'm in the opposed camp here. I don't think she's in the form right now to contend here at the US Open.
Okay, then. And in terms of slightly bigger prices, Victoria Azarenka's in at 16s, Agnieszka Radwanska in at 20s, 25s for Caroline Wozniacki, 33s for Anna Ivanovic, 40s for Angelique Kerber, Garbine Muguruza, Sam Stosur and Venus Williams, 50 for Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens, and 100s or bigger the rest. Do any of those deserve a mention here, Nick?
Well, Anna Ivanovic has to be at 33-1. Very good value for me. I think she's been one of the most outstanding players this year. She's been one of the most consistent players this year. She's made finals on all three surfaces, clay, grass, and hard. Improvements in her game have been day and night. They really have. She's come on a bundle, serving well, forehand great. She's got the game, and if her mind is right and her mentality is right and her emotions are in check, she can do some damage here, definitely this week. I like Madison Keys as an outsider. I think, you know, someone who, a young American who's coming through, again, looking at betting, if you're looking at the first, second round matches, look through there, see where she's at, might be some value in her. She's an emerging player. And Radwanska, you have to stick with Radwanska, who's in, I think, the third quarter. Looks to me as though she's got a good third quarter there. And must mention one other player, Caroline Wozniacki, who's also had a really good summer. She's made some adjustments to her game as well. Serves improved a lot, and her court position in terms of her being more aggressive likewise. So I think those three or four players, certainly as an outside each way bet, might be worth a little bit of money.
Okay then, Nick, if we could just gather your thoughts then on first the men's and then the women's US Open here. We'll start with the men's. If you could just sum up basically who do you think the title will go to?
Well, I'm sticking. You can only. I think, given the form that everyone's in at the moment, I think you have to look at Federer and say he's a favourite for me. He can't be anything else than a favourite. The way he's been playing, he comes in here playing the best tennis with the most confidence, looking so relaxed as always. I wouldn't be in the Djokovic camp right now. I think there's just a few things going on there that perhaps would be an oppose for me. I think Murray, for me, if it was a final, I think right now I was putting my hopes, I'd probably be looking at a Murray-Federer final. That would probably be somewhere up where I'm thinking, if Murray can negotiate his way through and pick up his tennis that he needs to do. And on the women's side, I think... you know, looking at the players, I might go with Kvitova to the double. I think she might win Wimbledon and the US Open double. It's a big ask, but I think she has the game on the day, as we've seen at Wimbledon, to beat anybody. And I think if she's consistent and dialed in and focused on the job and maturing, which I think she is, I think she could well back it up.
Okay, so Kvitova at 9-1 and Federer at 5-2. Two lively players there, I think. More importantly, two players that arrive in their banging form, which, you know, you can't say for a lot of the contenders this year. So, very interesting, Nick. Thanks very much for your time. We'll catch up with you soon. But enjoy the action at the US Open next week.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.